Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it.
On the Horn, 1049 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight.
Number four on a Wednesday. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling producing, getting you the great intros. And we hope from time to time we bring you some great interviews. By the way, tomorrow at noon, Trey, is when you guys are talking to Lacey Underall. Is that true?
Yes, Cindy Morgan. Just after we are done, reviewing Caddyshack, we're going to talk to Lacey Underall, a.k.a. Cindy Morgan, at noon.
There you go. That's noon tomorrow, the girl, the hottie from Caddyshack, the blonde.
Oh, okay.
Lifeline.
Oh, cool.
Love line, sex line, whatever she was doing on the hands.
Cool.
Yeah.
Met her in Chicago, drink up, really nice woman. She is the one who befriended me on Facebook many years ago, and now I'm getting to utilize that connection.
That is awesome. So that's coming up at noon tomorrow.
Is she into you?
No, she's just a very nice person.
Okay.
And I believe I heard correctly earlier, because I do listen to my my middays with Trey and BK, especially at the end of the show.
When he's driving in.
When I'm driving
That's
in.
That's fine. You're still listening.
I'm still listening. Right.
It matters.
Jerry DiNardo talking Big Ten and Michigan State tomorrow, and you're having Jessica Mendoza on as well, right?
10:30 for Jerry. Yeah, Mendoza may have to reschedule from the 11 o'clock time we had originally agreed upon, but
okay. She's
going to join us to talk baseball eventually. She also has a new book out that is geared towards adolescent girls that she wrote with her sister, who is a teacher and a writer as well, and it, I think, pulls a lot from their experience of growing up together, I believe, in the Bay Area.
Nice, yeah, that's where she's from. I've told you guys, I was able to work with her a couple times, and I just thought was just an awesome person.
So check out those interviews tomorrow on the Midday Show. Obviously, Bucky and Aaron, weekdays 6 a.m., all kinds of good interviews. And earlier today, we had a chance to go to the Vaqueros hotline and talk with Chris Ballas of TheWolverine.com. If you want to follow Michigan, no better way to do it. TheWolverine.com, he's their senior editor. We talked to him about the season, and we started where else but with quarterbacks. Is Shea Patterson the starter, or is there anybody else in the discussion, and has Harbaugh named the starter? Here's Chris Ballas.
No, he hasn't been, and we asked Jim Harbaugh about this the other day. When are you going to name your quarterback? And he's in no rush. You know, a few years ago, we didn't find out Jake Rudock was starting until he ran out there against Utah on the road. So, but it will be Shea Patterson. It sounds like he is far and away the number one guy, as you would expect. This is a guy who would have thrown for 3,800 yards last year, or at least was on pace to before he got hurt. You know, and Michigan's only had two quarterbacks ever that have thrown for 3,000-plus yards in a season. So he's the guy that's given this defense fits, and they think this is going to be one of the defenses in the best defenses in the country. So we definitely think it'll be Shea Patterson. And, of course, the big storyline there was that he was immediately eligible, and that was a big question mark this spring.
Yeah, that was huge. And I watched almost every Michigan game last year. It's a fun program to follow, and I know it was tough probably to cover it, just watching the quarterback play. It felt like the offense was in mud. How do they plan to use Shea Patterson? I know Harbaugh likes to be physical, but do you get him on the move a little bit? Do you open it up a little bit with those talented wideouts?
Absolutely, you have to. You got to play to his strengths, right? And they'll be in shotgun a lot more. And, you know, we've seen those quarterbacks that have been statues for the last couple of years at Michigan. Wilton Spate, to his credit, you know, the guy took a beating. And as much as people want to blame the quarterbacks, it's been the offensive line the last few years. Michigan has really not fielded a Michigan-type offensive line in about 10 years. They're hoping that'll change this year with the addition of Ed Warner, who used to be the offensive coordinator and line coach at Ohio State a few years ago when they won a national championship. So, but absolutely, you're going to see him roll out a little bit. He's going to give teams fits with his feet. He can move the pocket a little bit, and I would expect to see plenty of that this year, along with him and shotgun throwing the ball.
Chris, I definitely want to get your thoughts on the offensive line, but starting with the skill guys, talk about Higdon and those receivers. We've been talking about them as we've previewed Michigan, whether it's Black or Peoples-Jones. Talk about those guys and also some of the other names that maybe have come around in camp already and that Michigan fans are excited about.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of them, Donovan Peoples-Jones and Tariq Black. have the potential to be the best duo in the Big Ten. And they're only sophomores, didn't prove it last year because they were freshmen. You know, if you look at every great receiver in Michigan history, Braylon Edwards, Anthony Carter, some names that probably predate a lot of people, but these are guys, David Terrell, that didn't really break out until their sophomore years once they got a little bit bigger and stronger, but all of them were 1,000-yard receivers in their second season. So those are the expectations for these guys. And another guy, Nico Collins out of Alabama, who is just a huge target. He's probably about 6'5", probably about 230 pounds. Looks like a tight end, but runs like a receiver. And they've got great tight ends, too. Zach Gentry is a legit 6'8", a converted quarterback who you guys know.
Yeah.
Had committed to Texas as a quarterback and had committed to Michigan as a quarterback. But Jim Harbaugh said, hey, let's put you at tight end and see what happens. He went reluctantly. Now the kid's going to probably be playing on Sundays at that position. But you guys mentioned Higdon as well. He's put on 14 pounds in the offseason. The kid looks like a linebacker, hasn't lost any speed. And the one area where he's got to improve, and Chris Evans, the other running back, is in pass blocking. You know, these guys were terrible last year. I'll flat out say it. It's the worst pass blocking team as far as running from the running back position that I've ever seen in my 30-some years covering the team or 30 following the team. So needs to be better in that respect.
You mentioned Zach Gentry, and yeah, we certainly know that name here as the quarterback commit. He's a tight end now. When I think Harbaugh, and really when I think Michigan, just as a program, when Harbaugh was playing or when he wasn't, that I think tight ends. We're going to see a lot of them. Talk about Gentry, but also Tyrone Wheatley and some of the other guys that you expect to see.
Yeah, crazy. Tyrone Wheatley, just about a week ago, left the program, and he's going to be playing at Stony Brook next year.
Did he really?
Oh, man.
How crazy is that? And here's a guy that had so much potential, and a lot of people, though, thought that his best position would have been at offensive tackle. He didn't want to play it. I think he could have been an NFL tackle if he'd gotten the mentality where to be that guy, but never really embraced it and got hurt in the offseason, and it would have been third or fourth on the depth chart. But you've got a guy in Sean McCune who last year exceeded 300 yards and really showed a lot. Had a couple problems holding on to the ball, but has gotten better in that respect and gotten stronger. And a kid, Nick Eubanks, who caught a 40-something yarder in the first game against Florida last year, got hurt in the Purdue game, but he's a guy that really runs like a receiver as well, but he's 240-something pounds. So a lot of weapons there, and you're right. Jim Harbaugh loves to use the tight ends. We're going to see that a lot this year and see them open up that offense with those guys a little bit more.
Talking with Chris Ballas of TheWolverine.com here on the Horn, previewing Michigan for the season. Chris, I'm an Aggie, so not only am I familiar with Johnny Manziel's work, but I watched Shea Patterson come all the way back on A&M a couple years ago. He reminds me of Johnny when he moves. One of the keys for Johnny was an offensive line. He had an incredible line in 2012 that people don't talk about enough. Let's get to that offensive line in specifics. What type of line do you think Shea Patterson is going to have this year? Like you were saying earlier, is it going to look more like a Michigan offensive line?
Yeah, I think it will. And they're really pleased with the progress they've made. Now, keep in mind, you're going from a line that was really below average last year and have high expectations, especially on the interior, with three guys who have all Big Ten or maybe even All-America potential. At left guard, you've got a Ben Bredesen, who was recruited by everybody out of Wisconsin. He's going to be your leader. Cesar Ruiz is a sophomore that they say, yeah, you know, he's the oldest 19-year-old they've ever seen in Ann Arbor because of his leadership ability and really has a knack to play that position. He's a natural. Right guard, Michael Nwenu, 350 pounds. That's a good thing and a bad thing. It's going to be great when he's out there grading against the run, but, you know, he's got to get his weight down a little bit against the pass. But it's the tackle positions that have really caused some consternation. John Runyon Jr. had a great spring, and he's probably going to be your right tackle, unless he moves over to the left side, because they really don't have anybody there, guys, and that's been the big question mark. They went after the grad transfer who has ended up at Texas. Help me out with his name, fellas.
Grad transfer for Texas? Who now?
Yeah, he ended up at, I think, was it Calvin Anderson?
Oh, Calvin Anderson.
Okay, gotcha.
The Rice kid, yes.
Yep, so they were looking at him to come in and really maybe even start at the left tackle position. So Juwan Bushel-Beatty is a guy that they're looking at there. He's been there for 4 years, though, and has struggled at right tackle for his entire career. So that's the big question mark. You do have a redshirt freshman and James Hudson, who they like a lot for the future, but might have to get thrust in there this year, guys, and obviously that's not ideal.
No, Chris, if I was the two offensive tackles, I'd be ready for camp to be over with, going up against Gary and Winovich. I mean, you know, and talk about two different guys. Brag on them a little bit, because they're two of my favorites, and I expect a breakout year from Gary.
Yeah, I do too. And he's really demanded a lot of attention over the last couple of years, and has really opened things up for Winovich at the other end position. And Chase will be the first one to admit it. He said, you know, I've got one guy that I've got to beat half the time. Had 18 and a half, I think, tackles for loss last year. So because Gary was getting doubled and triple teamed. So, but it's really kind of dependent on the interior line, too. They lose a great player in Maurice Hurst, who is now with the Oakland Raiders. Have to have a couple guys step up in there, and they do have some guys in mind. Michael Dwumfor was probably the most improved on the interior line. They said he was starting to show that burst that Maurice Hurst had. Obviously not Hurst, but good enough. Mm-hmm. And Aubrey Solomon as a kid, a sophomore, that they're going to rely on an inside. But, yeah, you're right. Those bookends guys have probably the potential to be among the best in the country. They think they've got SEC speed, as they call it up here, on the defensive line and in the linebacker position. So they're really excited about that group.
Linebackers can fly.
Yeah.
I'm in love with Devin Bush.
Yeah, and I was just about to ask you about Devin, second team All-American last year. Is it going to get even better, you think, in the junior year?
Yeah, I really think so. We're watching him hit right now. He's added some good weight as well and gotten rid of a little of the baby fat. And they were showing him in some drills, in the donut drill on the Big Ten Network the other day, and just punishing these poor pylons, guys. But he is a guy that Jim Harbaugh called the fastest linebacker he's ever coached and maybe one of the fastest that he's ever seen. And you've got a few guys in there with him, too, like Devin Gill, who was his teammate down in Florida, who's playing on the weak side, who's really fast as well. And that's one area where Michigan really upgraded, was speed on defense. And those two guys, you've got a kid, Josh Ross, who is a local guy who will be vying for time there as well, that are really going to bring it. They feel really great about the depth and the speed at that position.
Kalik Hudson just filled in so nicely in that Viper role. Explain to all of us what the role is for the Viper spot and then also why he fits it so well.
Yeah, you know, they were looking for a position for him when he got here and thought he was going to play safety. And this kid has added another kid that's added about 12 pounds. And Don Brown, the defensive coordinator, says he looks like one big muscle now. And you see him, and it's hard to believe that a guy can be that chiseled. But the Viper position is basically you're still responsible for covering the tight end, but you're going to be blitzing a lot and moving around a lot. And that is what he does best. He had one game last year where he had 8.5 tackles for loss, I think, against Minnesota, and was one of the national players of the week for doing that. He's got a knack for getting home. He's got that burst and a great tackler. So, but he can also cover tight ends. And that's what makes him so good, is that he's that versatile. He's kind of like Jabril Peppers in that respect. As Don Brown said of the former Michigan Viper, who's now with the Cleveland Browns, nobody's going to be the next Jabril Peppers. But he has stepped in, and here's another guy that we think might be gone after this year because he's going to be in high demand. He's just been that good.
And that's number 7 for people watching Michigan early in the season. That game at Notre Dame, of course, is creeping up on us 17 days away. Talking with Chris Ballas of thewolverine.com. Chris, let's go to the back end there. You know, sometimes people will they'll say nicer things about their kids maybe than they need to be said, but sometimes they won't let people brag as much about their kids. I'm reading Michigan's defensive backfield might be the best in America. You cover them. Is that fair, or is that overcooking a little bit?
I think it's overcooking a little bit just because there are still a few question marks at safety. You had a couple of guys who were really solid last year, an honorable mention, all Big Ten selections, and Tyree Kinnell and Josh Metellus, but they got beaten in man coverage. And what Don Brown said he's going to do this year is give them a little bit more help, rely on the linebackers a little bit more in coverage, and safeties to help each other a little bit more. But the corners are every bit as good as advertised. David Long was, according to Pro Football Focus last year, when he was targeted, he was the best in the country in terms of pass efficiency defense. And he's not even the best corner on this team. It's LaVert Hill on the other side, a kid who has All-America potential. So they love those guys. They're both healthy. In fact, we had Michigan's corners coach today for availability, Mike Zordich. And this is a guy that doesn't sugarcoat anything. If he's bad, if you're bad, he's going to tell you. If you're good, he's going to tell you. And he said, you know, I couldn't ask any more of these guys in camp this year. They got to get a little bit of depth there. They got a kid in Ambry Thomas that they like as their number 3 guy. Number 4 is a guy that's been around for a long time, Brandon Watson, who still needs to get a little bit better. But they got 4 guys there that I think the second team, those 2 second team guys, could be just about as good as any in the Big Ten as well. So they are loaded at the cornerback position.
Outside looking in, this seems like a huge year for Jim Harbaugh in his 4th year. Not that he's on any hot seat, but really to take that next step that I know he wants to turn this into a year in, year out playoff contender. When I look at the coaching staff, he brings in McElwain. That seems like a good fit, considering McElwain is not having to even be a coordinator. Talk about kind of where his coaching staff is, though, with Don Brown and not listing an OC.
Yeah, I really like the staff and the additions, and McElwain is a great addition. He's actually coaching wide receivers, and he's going to contribute to the offensive game plan. And, you know, again, remember, this is a guy who had great success at Alabama as part of their national championship teams and great success at Colorado State as a head coach, putting up huge numbers. So the guy knows a little something about offense. They've got two or three guys there, Pep Hamilton being another one who was with the Cleveland Browns before coming to Michigan, and then Warner, who also had offensive coordinator experience that can really help, I think, put together a game plan. That was the biggest disappointment last year, I think, for a lot of Michigan fans, was they didn't think the floor was that low for a Jim Harbaugh team. That looked like a poorly coached offensive team, guys, and they expected a lot more from their $7 million a year man, the guy that's proven it in every level. So, but I think the additions are great. They've got a couple of young guys, Sherrone Moore coaching tight ends, Al Washington coaching linebackers, who are also great recruiters. I think the staff is really where Jim Harbaugh wants it. They got a great corners coach in Mike Zordich. So really, I think it's going to be interesting to see who calls the plays. Ultimately, it's going to be Jim Harbaugh who has final say on the play calling, but they're all going to contribute to a game plan. He just said at Big Ten Media Day, that's the way he likes it. That's the way he's going to continue to do it. We'll see how it works.
Chris, last one from me, and kind of along the lines of where Kevin went there with the coaching staff, but the rep on Harbaugh, pro and college, the thing I keep hearing is there's a clock ticking with him because either his intensity drives everybody crazy around him, or then he just starts looking for other things. So going into the fourth year, talk about that for a second. The comfortability of Harbaugh in Ann Arbor and the comfortability of Michigan with him.
Yeah, that's fair. And the good thing about that in college, right, you got guys coming every 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
The players, if they're sick of them, they're gone. You know, it's not necessarily that way in the pros, but this is a guy who's got his family. His mom and his dad are living on his property in a house that they built. He's got his entire family in the school where he used to go to school, his kids. Loves Ann Arbor, grew up here. He seems more comfortable now, honestly, than he was when he first got here. And this is where his roots are. So certainly doesn't look to be in any hurry to leave. And, you know, Michigan fans, what are you gonna get that's better than Jim Harbaugh? Let's be honest here. Mm-hmm. If Jim Harbaugh's the guy that we all think he is and the coach that we saw at San Francisco and at Stanford, you know, and he was on that track. Let's remember, just a couple of years ago, they were a bad spot away, guys, from being in the Big Ten title game and maybe in the playoffs. So this is a loaded football team. I think you're going to see some success this year. Even if you don't, I think Jim Harbaugh is going to have plenty of time and certainly looks to be, through the recruiting process, building a winner here.
And, Chris, there's a weapon we haven't talked about yet. I mean, this kid opened up his first game last year with 250-yarders. I love watching him just kick a football. It's like a really good golf shot, just how straight it is. But I'm assuming they really want to use Quinn Nordine and be able to steal some threes that other teams can't.
Absolutely, and proved it last year. He went through one, two or three game stretch where he was struggling a little bit. And but besides that, I mean, you can't ask for more from a guy. You know, Jim Harbaugh did sleep over at his house for a reason during the recruiting process, and slept on his floor, and he got his man. And it really, he really provided a spark last year when they needed it. So they're hoping, obviously, that they won't need to use him as much this year. They want to find the end zone a little bit more, but it's a great weapon to have, guys. And in those games that are decided by inches here or a long field goal, Quinn Nordine could certainly be that guy.
I bet a lot of coaches saw that first field goal and thought, I might sleep on the floor for a 55-yard field goal.
It is a good look. I mean, hey, you know what I'm saying, though, Chris? It's sometimes, I mean, a kick is a kick, but it looks better.
Yeah. It does, and it sounds better, guys.
It does.
When he hits the ball. You know what I mean? And and I agree with you completely. And there's nothing worse, right, than watching a team, you know, struggle and battle for so long and then, you know, have some little guy miss a 27-yarder or something like that to lose the game. So this kid's an athlete, so he's out there doing all the right things.
Chris Ballas, thewolverine.com. Interesting what he said about Quinn Nordine there, the sound, because I always think of you talking about Phil Dawson, that it sounded different.
Boom.
The big-time kickers do. It just sounds different when the ball connects.
Yeah, it's you get that with kickers. You get that with there's a different sound at the batting cages with certain guys.
Yep.
It just sounds differently, and Nordine is that guy. He's going to be a big weapon for them. They're going to be some 55, 56-yarders that can add up three here, three there, you know, all of a sudden It can be a big difference maker.
That was one part of the Justin Tucker kick, and I don't know if Texas fans thought of him as having the sound when he kicked it, but there were many elements going into that kick that I felt like he was going to make the kick, but one of the ones that stamped it in my brain was when I heard the sound. Mm-hmm. It just sounded like it was supposed to sound, and then later I saw that it was dead center, but it sounded good when it left.
It did, and remember, he punted too, so there was worry with Justin that it was going to be too much on his leg, but I felt like that continued, that his leg only got stronger, and watching him this last year in the NFL, it was as enjoyable as watching any kicker. And the sound's only gotten louder. Mm-hmm. There's a bigger boom.
Yeah, no, he's unbelievable. One of the big, big kicking weapons in the NFL. And, of course, Michigan has Quinn Nordin, the kid that Jim Harbaugh spent the night with and slept on the floor. And then you saw that 50-something yarder to start last year and you realize, oh, that's why. That's why he cared that much about a kicker in the recruiting process. The kid is nasty, and he's going to Notre Dame on September 1st, and maybe there'll be a big kick that night, too.
And like Dawson, his first kick was a 50-yard or plus. I think Dawson's was 50 at Pitt.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And, yeah, his first couple, I think, were 50-yarders for Nordin, right?
Yeah.
In that first game. I mean, that, right away he showed you. Okay.
Yeah.
I get the sleepover.
Checking that box. Thanks to Chris for his time. We'll get that interview obviously up for you in the podcast. HornFM.com. Hours 1 and 2 are already up there for you. Thanks to Trey for his great work with that. So you can check out the beginning of hour number 2 for that interview with Chris Ballas. Coming up, it is the Big 3. Couple Longhorn injury updates for you. Not new injuries, but updates on availability for a couple Longhorn players. Plus, CBS has a little preseason All-American team out there. A couple Michigan guys on it. We'll take a look at that as well. And I got a little bit of a story for Cowboy fans as well. Another injury story to update you on. That and more coming right up. Hope you're having a good Wednesday. It is The Horn. I'm just going to say this doesn't sound like Toto, but it might be. Is this Toto?
Yeah, I surprised you there, didn't I?
Look at you.
Someone's heard this before.
It is Toto. Now, the song was originally done by Weezer, who in the last 6 months or so has had a version of Africa that's come out. It's now available for purchase on iTunes. So Toto, in return, decided to pay homage to Weezer by covering Hash Pipe.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
So Toto and Weezer are like trading covers.
They're crossing song streams.
I wouldn't describe it that way.
That's weird.
That's not the right way to describe it. Wait a minute, Egon. I thought you said crossing the streams was bad. Toto tonight at Stubbs. Original Ghostbusters. Where does that fall on your Bill Murray list? You good on that one?
Oh, I'm good with it. It's way down below.
Have you ever thought about what Ghostbusters would be if Bill Murray wasn't in the movie?
Yeah, I have.
Terrifying.
It'd
still be okay.
It's not one of my favorite movies of all time. Like, Ghostbusters just kind of is what it is for me. And it's okay. It's good, but yeah, Murray definitely needed to be in.
Oh, God,
there.
Murray does so much for that movie. Nothing against Ramis or Aykroyd or anybody, but that dude, man, that is a Bill Murray movie for me. All right, hope you're having a great Wednesday. A reminder that we start the college football season, depending on how you want to look at it. You can talk about a day a little before this on the 25th. But for the first big Saturday, it's 17 days away from September 1st with Texas and Maryland, with Bama and Louisville, with Michigan at Notre Dame. We've been talking about Michigan today in our preview. But how about Texas Tech and Ole Miss? They're going to play Saturday, September 1st at NRG in Houston. That's the Advocare Texas kickoff. Head over to hornfm.com to enter for a pair of tickets to the game. One partial guarantee I can give you on Texas Tech and Ole Miss, Kevin. I don't think it ends 10-7. That's going to be my guess on that one.
You know,
You're, I'm on a limb.
That's who you are.
My final
that's
score.
That's who you are as a sports radio guy.
North of 10-7 for both teams.
You really should be doing a morning show on Fox or ESPN.
I really should.
You know, with an opinion on the scale of 1 to 10 at 11 every day. And every single opinion.
There's an NBA player on social media. Tell me what I should think.
I would love to see a sketch following these people home if they really acted like that.
Just everything.
What do you mean you didn't get Irish butter? You want to compare Irish butter to the other Land of Lakes? Like,
there is no comparison.
I will hear them yelling about stuff and I'm thinking, there's no way you really care about this.
No,
not to that degree.
There's a lot of yelling going on. A lot of yelling. We try not to put much yelling in the big three because we're just telling you what's going on.
Unless it's traffic.
Unless it's traffic, then we yell. But let's tell you what's going on.
The big three.
The Astros. No.
No, actually, you know what we'd say? It's done. There's no way. I'm Kevin Dunn, and I'm here to tell you the Astros have a 0% chance of winning the World Series this year. Nothing. Zilch. I don't think they make the playoffs. Go ahead, Chad.
The Astros are still up on the Oakland A's, and now it's a game and a half because Seattle took Oakland out today 2-0 in a long one. They went 12 innings, but the Astros go into tonight's game up a game and a half against Colorado again. Gerrit Cole goes for the Astros. They have got to figure out a way to get things going back in the right direction. Plus, like you said earlier, Kevin, just Oakland's hot right now, man. So even a game like today where Seattle can take one from them, that could be very big.
Yeah, and maybe you were drinking with a buddy and you said, all right, we get to extra innings here. Let's make this fun. It's scoreless. Let's place a bet on how this game ends. I wasn't even there, and I'll tell you, you guys were wrong because no one would have said D. Gordon hits a two-run bomb for his second of the year.
I might have bet on home run.
At Oakland?
But him, no. Yeah, no. Home run ending it, yeah. But maybe not him. So that's what's going on in the baseball world. Football-wise, Texas fans, you got two guys you knew were hurt. Now we know they're not playing against Maryland in 17 days. Dele Adeoye, his knee, and DeMarvion Overshown in his knee. It's bad enough that they are out for the Maryland game. Have not put any. There hasn't been any other kind of time frame set out, but UT did put that out earlier.
Do we know anything what it is?
The only thing I've heard is that Adeoye's might be an MCL.
Okay. Trey, have you heard anything?
That's all I heard in the
Inside
initial
Texas,
part.
Haven't heard the specific CL, but I've also been told that it's not, I think it's a non-surgery issue for both guys. Yeah. So really it's more about rest and recovery.
Because okay. If it was an ACL, we would have heard that already.
If it was an ACL, in all likelihood, even if it's a partial tear, if it's enough of a tear, they almost always just go ahead and repair it.
Yeah, right. It would have been done. So maybe that's some good news. Also tonight for you Texas fans, tonight is when All Access begins on LHN. Texas Football All Access starts tonight at 7 o'clock. It's going to be every 2 weeks. It's going to be a bi-weekly event. What did you just do?
I just banged my knee. Oh. Hold on. It, like 10 seconds. All Access. That was not a response to
all
that.
Right. Well, I'll tell them about it. Every 2 weeks, starting tonight, so every other Wednesday, you're going to have All Access at 7 o'clock on LHN. If you've never seen it, and either you're a Longhorn fan or you're just becoming a Longhorn fan, whatever, it is really it's like Hard Knocks. The cameras are there all the time. I still can't believe they let them do this, but for the entertainment value, it's awesome.
It's the best show on that network.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it's really good. You get a lot of good inside stuff, coaches' interviews and player interviews and inside practice footage, inside game footage, highlights and different things, and they'll weave in Craig's calls from the radio broadcast into the highlight. I mean, it's really cool.
They do a great job. I know that they're down on people. It seems like every time I check in, that someone else has left. But yeah. The people that are there should be really proud of the stuff they're doing because they are down in terms of numbers, but they're still the stuff I see still looks really good.
Yeah. So you got that starting tonight. And you've got the Longhorn Game Day stuff. They're going to be broadcasting two of the games, Iowa State and Tulsa, this year. And also, I see coming up later, I think it's August 22nd, so what's that? It's a week from today, that I believe is the debut of a documentary about the 08 football team.
Okay.
So they're going to celebrate the 10th anniversary of that 08 team with Colt McCoy and the gang with a little treatment on that.
And that team deserves it. That's going to be that's a tough one to swallow for Texas fans, just thinking about that year.
Yeah.
We felt like we got screwed.
Right. Yeah,
and
I'm
we
sure,
probably did.
And they'll deal with that. Yeah, I'm sure they'll get into that stuff too. Cowboys fans, you got to deal with Travis Frederick with a little bit of an injury. Shoulder, he's getting the shoulder examined. He's had a couple stingers at practice. They're trying to get that figured out. Somebody
tough it up, puss.
Somebody texted us earlier. I played tight end. I had a stinger in high school. Your whole arm goes dead from the shoulder to your fingers. I couldn't imagine blocking on the next play. You talked about listening to
Casey Stuttered.
Stuttered say he could actually go on the next play after a stinger.
Yeah, that's a different mentality. Britt Hager played with a stinger against A&M for and had 18, 19 tackles and had a stinger for the whole. I mean, that's one of those that I think I've had a minor stinger, but never like a stinger. And there are grades to that.
Yeah, there are. Back in the day, I remember Brian Jones telling the story of being a young football player, and he played the Pop Warner level and coming up, and he was somewhere along the line, maybe junior high football, where he had his first stinger, and he said he thought he was paralyzed. He didn't know that he'd never experienced it. Nobody described it to him. He thought he was done playing football forever. So it is. There's different degrees of it. Hopefully, Travis Frederick will be all right. So there's your big three, the basic big three. You want to get into this preseason?
Yeah,
All American.
Yeah,
list
let's
a
do
bit?
That. Let's do that here.
Are you gonna do that for one and done, or are you just doing that here?
I can do it for one and done.
Do it for one and done. All right, let's do that. One and done here on a Wednesday for one and done on a Wednesday.
Why don't you tell me how to shave? Because I need to shave first.
What? All right, we got to shave first. All right,
sorry.
Harry's.
I hate to throw off the whole plan.
That's okay. I just had a weird moment where I thought it wasn't the 6 o'clock hour, so probably best that we just have me talk Harry's.
Boy, that's a good sign, though.
Yeah, well, maybe.
That is a good sign.
The show's flying by. Is that what it is?
At 3, because at 3:20, I thought it was 5. So that's a good sign, right?
Story of your life, right? All right.
It is actually only 5:40 right now, Chad. Will you do the podcast here in about 22 minutes?
Oh, is that right? Is that what it is?
Just put in 6 o'clock hour.
All right. Harrys.com is the place to go for those great razors. Getting you in for $3 plus free shipping. I love Harry's razors. I'm about due for a shave here in the next day or so. These cartridges last me around a month because I don't have to shave every single day. Plus, I don't have a lot of beard growth going on. But depending on how your beard grows, you may need to shave a little more or a little less. But no matter what it is, the replacement cartridges, they're just $2 each, less than half the price of Gillette Fusion Pro Shield. 100% quality guarantee, no subscription required. They've bought a world-class blade factory in Germany to get you the blades for even less. They pass the savings on to you. You're ordering online. It is such a great process. For a limited time only, Harry's has a special offer for listeners of the show. New customers get $5 off the shave set with the Harry's code ChadH at Harry's.com. So you're getting the 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use the code ChadH at Harry's.com. So join the millions of guys who've already switched. It's Harry's.com. ChadH is your code to use at checkout to claim your offer. Harry's.com. All right, now let's go one and done.
Here we go.
Yes, I think it's time. One and done.
I don't like one and done. I've said it. I think there's a couple things people may not understand.
I don't think it's an indictment more.
If I can play this,
I don't like one and done.
We want one and done. The president's made that very clear.
One and done.
One and done,
baby.
There
you go. Some good wood on this one.
It's one and done with Bob Dunn's son. It's one and done with Bob Dunn's son. There he is. It's one and done with Bob Dunn's son. Cabin 2.
You get some good wood with this one. Huh, did I keep it together on that?
I don't know. Seriously, could you hear that, though?
It was good.
Some good wood.
Earlier, someone just sent us a text, and it said, more cowbell, capital letters. There you go. There's your cowbell. Texas Card House brings us one and done. Austin's premier poker club, featuring tournaments and cash games 7 days a week, starting at noon. Now with Rudy's, catered in on Saturday nights. Go to TexasCardHouse.com. Here's Kevin Dunn.
No, we got a gay kicker. That's what we got on this list.
Excuse me?
CBSSports.com. They came out with their preseason college football All-American list, teams 1 and 2. Matt Gay is the first team kicker, Chad.
Matt Gay.
I'm talking about homosexuals.
Oh.
Talking about Matt Gay.
Oh.
And
I would have been all for it.
You would have been fine. Well, and the Utah special teams, they are pretty gay. They're pretty happy right now.
They're liking their situation.
Because they've got the preseason punter, too. Remember Wisnowski? That crazy punter who came back for his senior year?
Goofball.
Yeah, so he's going to be first-team All-American, at least preseason. Not many shocking names. Will Greer is the quarterback.
Wow, okay.
We just don't have a preseason quarterback, and that's okay.
Yeah, I guess not.
We just don't. We lost a lot.
Man, if I'm some of these other guys, though, like, who should be insulted by that? Should McSorley be insulted
by that? I was going to say, Trace McSorley is a second team. No, he's not a first team. I don't think he's an All-American quarterback.
No. I mean, is there
another... He's good, but...
Is there another guy that should actually be mad at that?
I don't know.
Actually be upset.
I think Sam Ellinger should.
That Will Greer, right? Like, Sam Ellinger, but yeah, he could get mad, but he hadn't even been named the starter.
Yeah, no. He shouldn't be mad. Although, I would think there's a lot of guys probably like Sam around the country that think, oh, I'm as good as that guy. Whether they are or not. It's not, my point is, you're not looking at a Mahomes or like some freak and go, yeah, he's got some different skill sets than I do.
Yeah. What about Browning? He's not that good.
Browning could be one. Khalil Tate, if we're just going about college, right?
Yeah. I would.
Costello, it's a little too early for that.
My gut would say that
Fitzgerald.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess that wouldn't be a bad choice. My gut would be that Browning's done enough to be first team over Will Greer.
Over Will Greer.
But I'd have to. I haven't looked at number comparisons, so maybe I would be off on that, but.
This is going to surprise you. You've got two Alabama offensive linemen.
Boy, that does shock me. Mm-hmm. They've never been able to block or tackle, so I don't know what that's about.
Ooh, someone just texted. What about Drew Locke?
Drew Locke?
Although he didn't look like an All-American to me against Texas.
No.
He had a pretty damn good year. Yeah, a lot of people were coming in with the Mizzou kid. Yeah, I mean, he would have as good a right as Will Greer.
That long throw for the touchdown against Texas was gorgeous.
He's talented.
I mean, that was
I give Texas more credit on shutting him down than getting on Locke.
Especially Michael Dixon.
And Michael Dixon, who made a couple tackles, and his angles, his coverage skills really were tremendous that game.
That was incredible. Incredible.
You're right. Trey's exactly right.
Pinned him deep.
Dixon was pretty phenomenal.
I think it was the beginning of the second half when he threw that long touchdown pass. That was a seed that locked. No, seriously, the one that locked through.
Oh, the lock through?
God, okay, that was a laser beam. But it was the best throw by far that night. Everything else, Texas was able to contain him.
They had to go 90.
Right, and a huge part was the field position, because that was a no-brainer. I've watched.
That was a gigantic part of that game.
I have watched very few bowl games where I knew who the MVP was more than that night. And everybody liked to make fun of it around it, but it was so obvious that that's who it should be.
I had no problem, man. No problem with that. Okay, yeah. So you're two Alabama offensive linemen. You've got Jonah Williams, that makes sense, mm-hmm. and then also Ross Pierschbacher.
That's a good name.
It is a good name. So you've got, it was Tressbacher, but you've got those. David Sills is a wideout.
First team?
First team. Yep. Couple West Virginia guys on there. A.J. Brown, the old Miss kid. That's not a shot.
Is Bryce Love the running back, I'm assuming?
Bryce Love and Jonathan Taylor are your two running backs.
Oh, that's a good tandem.
You get the sophomore from Wisconsin. We'll see if he can have a big-time sophomore year.
Can we just interchange those two guys for each team? Can each of those red and white teams play those two? That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
Bryce and Taylor just play for both teams?
Let's go to break, and I'll give you the defense when we get back.
All right. More of the All-American CBS preseason All-American team. We'll get you more of that before we get out of here. One last thing coming up on the Horn.
Don't throw the damn two-seamers if you can't control it. You're in the big leagues. If you can't control your two-seamer, get the hell out of there.
So Ronald,
they should sit Acuna for the rest of the week.
Ronald Acuna Jr. has just come up for Atlanta. And
I don't blame him.
He got hit. Is that first pitch?
First pitch.
First pitch, he got hit, looked like on the arm, and now Atlanta's players are upset about it.
The coaches are pissed.
The coaches are mad. They're clearing. They're trying to hold coaches back.
That's your head coach.
Yep. That's right. Yeah, the manager's out there.
Snicker.
He's not happy. Snicker?
Is this Snicker? We don't really think Miami was trying to throw to Acuna here.
No. I don't think they were trying. I don't think Miami would be trying to throw at him. It doesn't make sense, even though they're in the same division.
Look at that.
But for me, a lot of these times at this point, Trey, these guys get irritated. It's been a long season, and that's why I said what I said. You know, and he's got this problem a lot where he's got no command. He doesn't need to be in the big leagues right now. He needs to go down to AAA and work on that and plunk them.
That is obviously just terrible from the talent perspective. This is Acuna, the young kid who's up until now, he's homered in five straight games. He's the youngest player ever to do that, 20-year-old kid, and he is in some pain right now. He got hit on the left hand. I didn't even see the contact point, but he's holding the left hand, and he's not like screaming and yelling or anything, but he took one on that very first pitch and pulled.
Oh, no, caught him in the elbow.
On the elbow. Oh. On the elbow.
That could be good news.
Okay. It just funny boned him, yeah.
Yeah, that could be good news.
Right, maybe it was just that. Maybe he can work that out. Marlins and Braves in Atlanta, MLB Network cut to this to see Acuna's first at bat because they wanted to see if he's going to hit another home run.
Although, honestly, watching the pitch again, that looks more like a pitch that's being aimed at a guy.
Yeah, it could because it got so far inside. Now, you do want to work Acuna. You want to tie him up. You don't want to let him get his arms extended. And Urena's got no control. So you're right. That's one of those where you don't know, but they probably knew if we are throwing at you, you can't prove it. We got someone with no command, and we're throwing two-seamers inside anyway.
Yeah, strange start to that Miami-Atlanta game. All right, we were looking at the CBS preseason All-American team, and we'd gone over some of the offensive guys.
Is Ron back on blow?
Ron who? Who are you talking about?
Ron Washington, Bucky's dad.
Oh, is that
what Bucky said? My dad had a haircut like that.
Is Ron Wash on one of these two
teams?
Yeah,
he's on the Braves, man.
I didn't know he was one of the Braves coaches.
No, I'm kidding. I hope he's doing well. It's just those Coke strolls are flaring out.
Not with that belly.
Just look.
That's exactly it. When true. I saw the belly, I thought, okay, we're fine. Those are old Coke strolls.
Yeah, no, that's not him.
That's just to remember the good old times.
All right, so defensive side, preseason, All-American team, anything jump out to you?
Ed Oliver's your player of the year.
Well, I'm surprised.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
Nick Bosa is on there.
Okay.
Christian Wilkins. And then
I was going to say, how many Clemson
Farrell
linemen?
Or was it Farrell?
Cleveland Farrell.
Yeah, Farrell.
Both of those guys.
He's on there. Devin White, who I love. Cam Smith.
USC that we talked about yesterday.
Devin Bush.
From Michigan.
He's my favorite of all them. This is a great name. Not given name, but it should be. Greedy Williams.
Oh, God.
From LSU.
I love that there's a corner out there named Greedy Williams. And it's so much his nickname, now it's his name.
Right.
I love that when it just takes over. Because then the announcers can call him Greedy Williams all they want.
This is where Washington's going to be good this year. And where maybe they've been missing a guy here or there or 2 years ago. They've got two guys on this list. Byron Murphy, who's a cornerback, and then Taylor Rapp, who's a safety.
Okay. By the way, they're still discussing this up here with Atlanta and Miami. They haven't thrown
the teams. The teams are still talking.
God, they still haven't thrown another pitch. It's weird.
Right, and that's where there's just confusion here because, both teams are going to be pretty adamant, hey, what the hell is going on? Atlanta's a little trickier for them because, can you prove that they were throwing at you? I also don't know. Yeah. I haven't been following the series. I don't know if stuff's going on. Usually, if you are throwing, most of the time when someone's throwing at someone, don't I come to you like 2 days before or a day before and say, Chad, you got to watch this guy next time he comes up a bat.
Right.
Like, or even follow the Batista thing like we did all year.
Yeah.
You've got an idea.
This didn't feel like one of those moments. Yeah, so they're looking into that now. The thing Acuna looks like he's trying to convince the trainers he's okay. Maybe he ends up on first base and is able to play. We will.
That's a funny bone deal.
We will see. Right. All right, let's go one last thing here.
One last thing.
Pittman.
Did you see the fight last night?
The Puig?
Hunley and Puig.
I like when the Dodgers and Giants get together.
I do
they
too.
They hate each other.
Some of these catchers need to chill out a little bit. I know that he's little too showy.
What the heck was that?
Oh, he just flipped the bat up a little bit because he missed his pitch. And of course, redneck Huns has to say something to him like, hey, man, you got to respect the sport more than that.
You got to know who the guy is. Puig licks his bat on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You can't take that guy seriously.
And Chad's not kidding.
No, he literally...
He literally licks his bat.
A lot. So,
yeah.
Know who it is. That's not... That guy being demonstrative is just what he does.
I know the Dodgers got to feel like, though. It's like having one guy, if you run in a crew, that is going to be your best chance for y'all to get in a fight that night.
Yeah.
Puig has that in him a little with the hot dog and all
he
that.
He does. He does. They do not like each other, the Giants and the
no,
Dodgers.
No, they don't.
He and Bumgarner have gotten into it in the past, yelling at each other about bat flips and how long are you looking at home runs and things like that. So, just the way it is.
Bumgarner's a little bit too much of a Nazi on that.
Yeah, he's
and
a little
And pitchers
crazy.
Are going to be.
All right. Today was Michigan. Tomorrow it's Michigan State. We'll talk Spartans tomorrow. Check that out with Bucky and Aaron at 6 a.m. and all the way through. Lacey Underall, 12 noon tomorrow with the Midday Show. Check that out as well. Have a great Wednesday. Our Fight Night and Sports Guys Talking Wrestling shows are coming up. To you.
Nah, get Chuck and Joaquin.